Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, we're continuing our study. We've entitled The Anchor of My Soul, looking at just promises from the Word of God. We'll actually be continuing that again tonight as we look at another promise of God. So we invite you to be back with us at 6 p.m. right in this space. And we'll have another time of worship. Hope you'll be able to be with us during that time as well. So, is there a chore that you do, or something you do around the house or whatever, that you just do it because it has to be done, not because you like doing it? Y'all have one of those? Some of you I could just see. It didn't take you long to... Do you have a list of those things? No, don't answer that. Well, perhaps help is on the way. Because very smart people spending large amounts of money are trying to design a personal assistant to live in your house with you. And it probably will look something like this, they tell us. Okay? Now, just to show you my age, okay, I back in 1962, this is what the concept looked like. Okay, that's my age. Some of you know Rosie from the Jetsons, don't you? Go back to the guy washing dishes, or the robot washing dishes. Now, they tell us that they're trying to get this thing designed to be a fully functional assistant in your home, and they're trying to get the price down to $30,000 to make it accessible. All right? You know, maybe the price of a car, whatever. So, you know, I don't know if that's higher. I do know this. If it's washing dishes, I could wash a lot of dishes for $30,000, I think. So, but anyway, and plus most of us have a machine already in our house that washes dishes. Many of us do. So anyway, so... Now, depending on your age, and I've kind of done a little survey among some folks I've talked to, and some of the younger generation sounds, oh, that's a good idea. That's just, you know, another next step in the way of development. But I was, in some of my age, I'm like, some of you are always shaking your heads. You know, if they can hack your computer, could they hack your robot? That's a little scary. And what if it breaks down and you don't have a robot mechanic in town to fix it? Or what happens if the dog doesn't like it? I have a solution for that one. Here's the solution for that one. You get the robot dog, all right? Well, whether or not that's part of our future or not, I don't know. And I don't know if you'd feel comfortable with it if it is part of our future or affordable or anything else. But in John chapter 14, we have for us a promise from Jesus himself of a divine assistant. And we're going to just dwell on this promise in John 14. If you have your Bible, please make your way there as we look into his word this morning. And I'm beyond excited to share this with you. And I know in my own life, I shared with the last service, I said, this is one of those truths I know, but it's probably under thought of and underutilized in my life. And it's a great opportunity to remind myself and remind us of this wonderful promise given to us that's available to us literally all the time. So in John chapter 14, if you want to make your way down to verse 16, I want to read 16 and 17 right now, and you have your Bible, please follow along as I read, where Jesus references this promise, okay? John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, these words are spoken in a particular context, okay? John 14 flows into a narrative, a story that's going on in the Gospel of John. In chapter 13, Jesus has told the disciples something very important. Now, you understand, their expectation was... This is now Jesus has arrived at Jerusalem. This is Thursday night. The previous Sunday, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Everyone was proclaiming him, you know, the King of the Jews, and this great celebration. The disciples expected that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom, be on a throne, be the king. All the enemies in retreat, all the things they needed in society fixed would be fixed. All the things they needed in life would be provided. After all, they'd seen him work miracles. They'd seen all these wonderful things. They thought this was the beginning of their future. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus says, I'm going away. He didn't say, I'm going away and you're going with me. He just said, I'm going away. And I would imagine their emotion at the moment was confusion combined with terror. Because he was the one who had the ability. He's the one who had the words. He's the one who had the truth. He was the one they believed was the Messiah, the one that they were convinced was God in flesh. They had their trust in him. And suddenly, you're going away? That's the reason he says in 14:1, those familiar words, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he starts giving promises of the future. And he comes down in this text, this promise in verse 16, and he's saying this, I will pray the Father. I'm going to ask God for something. Ask God the Father for something, and he will give you another helper. I'm not going to leave you alone. You will not be left alone. So let's explore this promise of this helper, if you will, and let's think about it in terms of just three descriptions that you can extract from the text. First of all, that you have a helper with you always. Look at the text again of 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you and another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. If you want to scan your eyes down to verse 26, same chapter, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. So we see that this person, this helper, this one who's being prayed for to come be with him, is the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting, you see that right in this text in front of us, that we know from Scripture that there is one God. There's not one among many, there's no alternatives, there's no rivals, there's one God. But at the same time, the Scripture teaches us that God exists in Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, you might frustrate you to say, how can there be one God and three unique persons of God, and how does that work? Well, people have been trying to figure that out for centuries, and no one really can fully comprehend it, because I'm convinced it's beyond human understanding. The great news is, rather than that frustrating us, rather than saying, I want some certainty, I want to be able to explain this, the fact that there's some things about God that we can't explain just says this, that he is a big, great, awesome, mighty, promise-giving, promise-keeping God. That is to be worshipped even in those areas that we can't explain. If we could explain him, I don't think he'd be God, would he? So that is true. So you see God the Son praying to God the Father that he would send God the Spirit into the world after his departure. So all three persons of the Trinity, the triune God, are in play here. So that's who we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, this promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I prayed this, and this is going to be given. He will give you another helper, it says in verse 16. You would probably think we're going to get to that word translated in this translation, helper, would be where we'd run to next. But I want you to back up to the word another. In English, if you say another, it's like I'm here, another's there. It's a separate person, separate thing, separate category. However, in the Greek language in which this was originally written, John wrote it in Greek, there are two words that could be used. It would be all be translated in English as another. There's another that means of a different kind. I'm going to send you another, but different. And there's another word that says, I'm going to send you another, which is the same kind. This is the second category. It says, when this one comes to you, when I pray the Father and he sends it to you, it'll be another of the same kind you've enjoyed. The same quality, the same heart, the same ability, the same knowledge, the same love, the same everything. It's not going to be different. It's not going to be second rate. It's not going to be second class. You're not going to see me, but I'm going to send you another that's going to fulfill the same role for you, and he will be with you forever. Put that in contrast of what he's saying earlier. I'm going away. This one is going to come. He will be with you unendingly with no separation ever. Then you have the next word there, another helper. Some English translation would say another comforter or another counselor. Because sometimes it's hard to find the English equivalent to the word that is originally there. So let's go back to the word that's originally there. It's the Greek word is parakletos. It's a compound word made up of two words joined together. Kletos means to call. Hey, come here and help. It's sort of a divine 911, 911, come and help, I come here, I need you. It's a call for assistance, a call for presence. The word that precedes it in this compound word is the word para, which we know of in English, correct? You talk about someone who's a paralegal, That person is not an attorney, not in that level, but they have certain expertise in the legal profession, and a paralegal comes alongside in the legal community and an attorney and does certain things, has certain abilities. A paramedic is another example of this. Someone who's trained medically is not a doctor or not a nurse, but someone who can come alongside in an emergency to come to your aid. It has certain skills and life-saving skills that they can apply. So someone that comes alongside. So we have this one, Jesus says, that I am praying for, and he's going to be one who is called to come alongside you, and he will be with you forever. Now, the reason the word helper is put there, the reason that counselor is put there, or comforter is put there, is an attempt by the translators to take the totality of that meaning of this parakletos, this one who comes, who is the Holy Spirit, the role he plays. And I just want to use three terms to help us kind of break it apart, and they all would apply to the Spirit of God and apply it to this text, okay? So first of all, you have a helper with you always, one who is a helper. He's always with you. They had had a helper with them for the last 3.5 years. When they needed food, Jesus could take one little boy's lunch and feed them and thousands of other people. He helped them. When they were in the middle of a storm thinking they were going to die, Jesus could be roused from his sleep and say, "Peace, be still," and suddenly the storm was gone. When they were alone in the sea another time and he needed to be with them, he could walk on water to come to them. When he encountered Lazarus' tomb and the distraught sisters there, Jesus could come and have the stone rolled away and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he was raised from the dead. They had a helper with them all the time for these 3.5 years. And he says, here's the news for us. Not just for them, but for us. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to bring another of the same kind, and he's going to be called alongside, and he's going to be there to help you with what you need in life. One that you don't have to worry about having his programming hacked, or running out of power, or finding the repairman. He says, I have this one coming for you. Now notice he says in the text, he says in the end of 16, he'll abide with you forever. In the end of 17, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's already here. The Spirit is already at work because God is omnipresent. He's all everywhere present. But future tense, he says in the end of verse 17, he will be in you. The indwelling of the Spirit. He indwells within us. I got to tell you, that is a mind-boggling concept. But you know what? That is a very reassuring concept. You don't even have to call 911 to have someone run to your assistance. He's already here. He's within us, changing us from the inside out, empowering us from the inside out, and helping us with what we need. How does that work? I don't think I could define that very well. Because he's not someone we see like they saw Jesus. They don't hear his voice speaking like they heard Jesus speak, but he's there. So his work is subtle. But rest assured that on the veracity of the promise of Jesus himself, he says to all of us, and he says to you individually, that if you will trust in me and be one of my followers, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God will indwell you, and I will help you in life. That might be redirecting us when we're about ready to take a step that's going to cause us harm, danger, spiritually or physically. Maybe it's that direction to take us into an opportunity we'd never thought of, or those blessings that he just kind of showers around us, and sometimes we catch him at work and sometimes we don't. Sometimes that's that meeting with a person that, well, they just sort of crossed my path at the right time, at the right place. And we just get this sense that the Spirit of God is just there helping, arranging, working, calling us to believe in him. So he's our helper. Now, let's also look at it in terms of another term. Let's use the word counselor. You have a counselor with you always. All right? Now, apparently in the Old Testament, if you read the texts of the Old Testament, the narratives of the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God would come upon a person for a particular time, for a particular mission. It talks about the Spirit of God would come upon someone and they would prophesy, something like that. But us as New Testament believers have this one, he will be with you. Always, forever, he will not only be with you, but also be in you. It becomes permanent, yet future. That's yet future. We understand that this reality of one who is to guide us and to lead us and to give us information and direction we don't otherwise have, will take place future to them, but past tense to us. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus, after he has been resurrected from the grave, meets with the disciples and tells them, you remain here in Jerusalem, and not many days, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and he will empower you, and then you will take this message literally to the ends of the world. That's exactly what happens. In Acts chapter 2, 120 of Jesus' followers are gathered together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast day that took place 50 days after Passover. They're gathered there, and the Spirit of God comes upon them, and a visible manifestation empowers them, and you can read the rest of the book of Acts with how the word spreads out from Jerusalem and now has reached literally around the world. So that is the reality of what was going to take place. So you have that permanent rather than that temporary sort of reality. But imagine with me, imagine it's Monday morning, not Sunday morning. Could you do that? I don't want to get you too off track. But imagine, this is a mental exercise, okay? Imagine you wake up in the morning, your alarm goes off, and you get out of bed, and standing there is someone in a track suit, and they got a clipboard and a whistle around their neck. It's time for your morning workout. I've got it all laid out here in detail. I know how many reps you need to do. I need to know how much cardio you have to do. I need to know how much strength training you have to do. Some of you, this is a nightmare already, I know. But someone who is an expert in the field of fitness to guide you through. And then after you get your shower and you go into the place where you're going to eat breakfast, there's a nutritionist sitting there. We have this meal planned out. We have all these nutritional ingredients because this person has some nutritional expertise. And by the way, it's been prepared by a master chef. For some of you, this has now become a dream, not a nightmare, hasn't it? And they prepared it exactly according to plan. And then you get in your car to drive to work or school, whatever's next. And sitting there beside you, here's your professional planner. We've got your schedule all laid out, when you're going to arrive and what's the best route to take, and I've checked the traffic for you, and they have expertise in that. Someone who knows more about an issue in a discipline than you do. Now, I don't think any of us are going to experience that tomorrow morning. If you do, would you send me a note, and I'd like to ride with you to work, okay? I would like to shadow you for a day, just see how it is. But the reality is, we have a counselor with us 24/7, not just starting tomorrow morning, but right now. And has been with you since the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have. He has expertise in every situation, in every issue, in every category of life, particularly spiritually, because all those other things, you can have the best physical fitness and nutrition and planning and all that, but you understand the only thing that lasts is the soul of man, and we have someone who's a counselor that can direct us not only through life, but through all eternity as well. So we have this counselor with us, someone that we can count on, someone that we could trust in to guide us, to steer us away from that which is out of bounds with God, to steer us into that opportunity to serve. I put you at this place to meet this person, to say this thing, to do this thing, to show my love to this person, to help somebody that's serving God, whatever it may be. The reality is that we have this opportunity because God has directed, because he is the counselor. You ever face moments like they faced? We don't know what this is all about. We don't know where this is going. This is scary. He says, I'm with you now, but I prayed the Father. And another of the same quality as me is going to come, and he will abide with you and be in you forever. Think about that. Now, I want you to look at verse 17 for just a moment as we think about the third category, which that is that of a comforter, a comforter. You have a comforter with you always. And some translations will translate parakletos, comforter. One who comes alongside just to be with you and to be there with you and bring you whatever you need emotionally and spiritually, all right? So look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. There is one caveat to this whole promise. There's one standard on our side that has to take place. The Spirit of God only indwells those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, that's those who are the unbelievers outside of this family of faith that he's talking to, and this family of faith that we experience today. Those, they don't see him, they don't know him. And you might think, wow, they're missing a lot even in this life. True. They're missing an eternity after this life. Wow, this is serious. That's the reason we exist as a church. That's the reason we're here. And part of what the Spirit of God wants to lead us and guide us to do is to live a life that people can see that this is genuine, real, and authentic, this following Christ. And as God gives us opportunity to share the truth, that they can become a follower of Christ as well. And I want to say to you, maybe you've come this morning and you're not a follower of Christ. If you have come, thank you for being here. But you know what? I would love to say that you have this power of the Holy Spirit within you in this life and now and forever. You may say, well, what do I need to do to get that? What are the things on the to-do list to get to that point? Well, there is no to-do list because everything's already done. The Bible says that the only thing that keeps us away from a holy God is our own sinfulness. So we have to acknowledge certain things. First of all, that we are a sinner in need of Savior. To believe that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. And to believe that what occurred the day after these words were spoken in John 14, that Jesus died on a cross, and through his death, sin's price was paid, and all he asks you to do is to believe that. You say, Pastor, that sounds very simple. Yes, it is very simple. And he calls you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. To embrace that truth as true for you. And you might say, I still have a few questions about that. I understand that. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Just let me know. We'll do it. Or any of our pastors, or maybe that Christian friend or family member that maybe encouraged you to come this morning. Just say, tell me about that. Tell me about your relationship with Christ. Tell me about your story. Tell me if these things are true. And just explore that. We'd love to see you come to Christ as well. But also what comes to us, where he says that we have this one who abides with us and forever, and this one who dwells with you and will be in you, we have this one who is there to comfort us. Scripture talks about a peace that passes understanding. In other words, you mean I can have peace in the midst of when I should panic? Yes. How do I get there? Well, you don't get there, but you can get there by the power and the help of a comforter who can come. And many of you have experienced that in your losses and difficulties in life. Doesn't mean we don't grieve, doesn't mean we don't hurt, but we have that one that is there to comfort us, to get us through. I talked to someone recently that's been through a real trial, very, very serious, difficult trial. And I was talking to this person, I just kind of put my arm around him and I said, you know what? With God, you have endured. You've endured. Why could you have that comforter? God has not left you alone. He can take you through. He can direct you there. Well, let's talk about how to experience this power. It's there, and it's going to lap over what I just shared with you. But first of all, it's through awareness. God calls us from the Word of God because it's included in the sacred text of Scripture. He calls us because we need it in life. He calls us because it's this great opportunity. He says, just be aware that He is with us. Had lunch with a pastor friend of mine who pastors in the area, and we had lunch on Thursday. And while we're at the Mexican restaurant chomping on our nacho chips, I said, what are you planning on sharing Sunday? And he shared about that. And he said, what are you planning on sharing? And I shared this passage. And I said, we kind of went through those things. He said, we just need to know that right now, real time, be aware of it. And I said, that's exactly right. It's not that sophisticated. It's not that complicated. God just calls us to be aware that God Himself and the person of the Spirit, if you're a believer in Him, is with us and within us. He is our helper. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's here with us. Live like He's there because indeed He is. And we tune up our awareness through many ways, one is which is what you're doing right now in real time. Go down, if you will, to verse 26, same chapter, which I referenced just a little bit ago. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I have said to you. So He's saying He's going to teach you what you don't know now. In essence, that's what happens for us as believers when we open God's eternal living Word and the Spirit who's within us becomes our teacher to reveal this truth to us, to help us understand this truth. Maybe you had this experience, maybe not. But I know people who, prior to coming to Christ, you know, I tried to read the Bible, I tried to understand it. It's just like, what is this? And then they surrender their heart to Christ, and suddenly it starts becoming living and real. I talked to someone the other day, and they just said, I've been reading my Bible, and it's just all I can think about now. I thought, wonderful, what a wonderful testimony. So we have the Word of God. Whether we're meeting together on a Sunday morning for this conversation, whether you're opening your Bible together with yourself personally or your family in a regular devotional time daily, whether you're in your small group or your Wednesday Bible study that we're doing, but whenever we open this Word and we encounter it, He's wanting to teach you, and that's part of what He's doing. Be aware that the Spirit of God is involved in this process. There's something divine taking place. There's something deep taking place. There's something infinitely significant taking place. There's something godly powerful taking place. Now, there's something specific to them in the end of that verse where he says, and bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. For instance, John, who wrote this book that we're reading from today, was there who heard Jesus say these words. You know, was somebody there frantically dictating everything that was being said? No. I don't think that took place. Maybe someone took some notes. But he says, the Spirit of God is going to help you recall these things so you can get them written down accurately. So the fact that we even have the Bible is a product of God's inspiring work in the person of the Spirit of God. So He's going to put it together for us, and He's going to teach it to us. We need to have an awareness that He indeed is our lives. And secondly, we need to have this reality that we acknowledge that we understand that is true. We do that in our conversation with God. Maybe we should pray something like this before this day gets out. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the Son to be our Savior. And thank you that you've given the Son who prayed to you, the Father, to ask that we could have the Spirit of God to teach us all things. What a wonderful truth. We acknowledge that is true. And we acknowledge that is true in other people's lives. We acknowledge that what is going on in lives. And I find this just comforting as a pastor. I try to share best I can with God's help, but I also know God takes this word through His Spirit and He does things that I could not even dream of. That He can change lives and He can do amazing things. And sometimes I hear back of what He's doing, sometimes I don't, and that's neither here nor there because I just know He's at work. Reality's there. So acknowledge that. Acknowledge that in prayer. Acknowledge that to yourself. Acknowledge that to other people. Remind each other that the Spirit of God is at work. God is at work building His church. And sometimes we face struggles, and sometimes we have setbacks, and sometimes we have seasons where people have their hearts open to Christ, and we see people coming to Christ. And sometimes we have seasons when it seems like the seed is just falling on stony soil all the time. But you know what? We just know that we are called to do what we do, and the Spirit of God will be at work. And we acknowledge that. We remind each other of that. And I remind you of that even now, that He's here. Awareness and acknowledgement. Look, if you will, back at verse 16 again. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Friends, that's a promise that can be an anchor of your soul. In the good times, we share our joys. In the difficult times, we share our trust. At all times, we share it with the Spirit of God who indwells us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful promise from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. We know it is true because He said it. We know it is true because we've experienced it. Lord, help us to turn up the volume of our awareness. Help us to increase the intensity of our acknowledgement. Help us to remind each other, remind ourselves in our conversation with ourselves and our conversation with you that indeed we have a divine assistant, God Himself with us at all times. We thank you for that. Help us to live that way this day and days yet future. We pray in the name of...
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.